Well, good morning. It's good to see those that are here this morning. We will go ahead and get started with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing "Great is the Lord."
Great is the Lord, He is holy and just, by His power we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true, by His mercy He proves He is love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, now lift up your voice, now lift up your voice. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, He is holy and just, by His power we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true, by His mercy He proves He is love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, now lift up your voice, now lift up your voice. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord.
And you may proceed.
Good morning, church. And it's good to see everyone here this morning. I want to welcome you to Hillcrest Baptist Church. I just have a few announcements. Of course, just the normal stuff. We have service tonight at 6 p.m. We welcome you to come and join us as we sing and open up God's Word once again tonight. Wednesday night, we will have all regular things open, including RAs, GAs, Mission Friends, Youth. Do we have women on missions? No? Acteens? Acteens is tonight. Yes, that's true. Acteens tonight. So we're all kinds of activities going on. So we welcome you to come back and join us and be part of that. I do want to ask for a prayer for the youth group as we gear up for going to Fuge in a couple weeks. We did get our assignment, and we will be assigned helping out an organization called Sleep in Heavenly Peace. And what they do is they build and construct beds for children who don't have beds. And so we will be helping them deliver these beds to these families. And so it opens up an opportunity for us to share the gospel with them as we serve their physical needs. We'll also be praying that we serve their spiritual needs as well. And the organization, from the best of my knowledge, is not a Christian-based organization. And so the workers there and people there will also be introduced to the gospel. And so we are excited. We've got 11 youth that are signed up to go, and they are pumped up about it. And so just be in prayer for that. And if you can help financially, we do have a few youth that need a little assistance. And so if you would like to donate to that, you can write a check and just place it in the offering and mark it Fuge or Youth. And we'll make sure that that gets in the right place. I want to welcome once again everyone to Hillcrest Baptist Church. And we want to welcome especially our visitors this morning. The way we're going to do that is we're going to stand up and we're going to wave to each other and sing. So stand. As you're waving, I forgot one announcement. We will have a parents' meeting for Fuge right after in the fellowship hall.
been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join hands with Jesus as we travel this land, for a part of the family of God.
And you may be seated.
Brother Jerry asked me to just share with you what Fuge is. So every year, except for last year, the youth group have been going to different locations around the country. Fuge is a mission trip for the youth group, and we do various things. We've been to Louisville, we've been to Birmingham, we've been to Mississippi State, we've been to New Orleans, all over the place. Serving in different capacities. And so that's what Fuge is. The youth group will load up on the vans, and this year we're going to Central South Carolina, and it's Southern Wesleyan University is where we're going to be staying, and we'll just be serving throughout the afternoon. We'll serve, and we gather as a in corporate worship time during the evening with other churches across the country, and it's just a precious time of worship, learning about God, and serving other people. So that's what Fuge is. And if you didn't hear me, we do have a parents' meeting right after about Fuge over in the fellowship hall.
And as you're still seated, we will continue on with O Worship the King.
on his throne. Hark how the hymn the anthem drowns, all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, for the new rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways. From pole to pole that wars may cease, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend, their fragrance ever sweet. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side. Those wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity.
Good morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. We appreciate the beautiful sunshine you've given us today, Lord. Lord, I ask that you be with Brother Jay, the message that he laid on his heart today, Father. Father, I'll ask that you be with the lost sinners in here. Pray that they open their heart and let you come into their heart, Father. Father, I ask that you to bless the offering. I ask all this in the sweetest name we know, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, good morning. We're going to pray in just a second. What a glorious day to be in the Lord's house. Yesterday, I spent all day in the attic. And I'm really appreciative today of air conditioning. I was looking around the church just a few moments ago, just looking at the wood and the cross and the pews and you guys, and you know, sometimes we're just blessed and we forget about it. We take it for granted. We have a beautiful church. We have beautiful people. Yeah. Everybody in here is beautiful. You know it. We have family. We're all family in the Lord. God is here. Amen. He proved that Wednesday night. We had some visitors Wednesday night, and one of them got saved. God is just good. Amen. So let's go to the Lord and thank Him. Almighty Father, Lord, we love You. We're very grateful, Lord, that You brought us here to Hillcrest Baptist Church. I pray, Lord, that every one of us would feel the very presence of God here. Lord, that you would change us as we hear the word of God, Lord, that we would leave differently than we came. I pray you would draw us closer to you. Lord, I pray that as we think about the cross, that you would forgive us of our sinfulness. Lord, that you would guide us in all the things that we do. As we look around the sanctuary, what a gorgeous church you've built here on Dover Road. And Father, the Family Life Center will be up and running in a matter of time. And we'll give you thanks now for what you're going to do. Help us, Father, to use that to build the glory of God up. I do pray, Father, for those that are in need of prayer, those that are hurting, whether it be physically or spiritually or financially. Lord, we just pray for them. Teach us, Lord, how to pray for our brothers and sisters. I do pray, Father, for what's going on in Israel. I lift those up to you, Father, knowing that they're still your people and you intend to do something with them. So protect them, Lord, and give them guidance. Some of them, many of them, need to be saved. I pray, Father, for their salvation. I pray for their enemies, Lord, that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ somehow or another. Lord, all of us, I pray that we'd be watching for you to come back any moment. I pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, turn your Bibles to Colossians. Get to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, then you'll get to Colossians. We're going to look at chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10, but I'm just going to speak about 1 through 6. So Colossians 2, chapter 1, or chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Paul writes, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And far as many as have not seen my face, or for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see you, your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Jesus, who is the head of all principality and power." Marks of a mature church. Alex, turn me down just a little bit. Marks of a mature church is the title of this message. And I asked for prayer Wednesday night that who was here would pray for me. There are some verses in here that are pretty difficult to preach, to share. The whole chapter gives me, the preacher, caution. And I'll share with you why, because of verse 1, the way it starts out. "I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you. I have for you and those in Laodicea, and as many have not seen my face in the flesh." Paul wants us to know what's going on in his heart. And what's going on in his heart is he's sitting in prison writing this letter. And he's writing this church a letter to let them know what God's word says. That's his job. That's all preachers' jobs. To share with you what the word of God says. Not opinion, not jokes, not what we want to share. Just what God's word says. So that's what gives me caution. That's why I ask you guys to pray for me Wednesday. Let me preach God's word just the way it's printed, this way it's taught. Let me know, God, what you want me to share. And then as he does, I will share it. One of the hard lessons today is going to be about Christian maturity. Again, this is a tough message for a preacher to have to preach, and I know some of you will go home and say, that preacher was talking to me. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm talking to everybody. We grow in maturity. However you are right now, God expects us to mature next week. We mature in this walk until we die. So hear me when I say we're going to talk about Christian maturity, and it's not saying anybody's immature in their walk. It's saying we can mature the more we study God's word and the more we do what he tells us to do. Does that make sense? Shake your head yes, or you agree with me. Don't go like this. Yes. We will grow in the Lord as we get older if we do what God says to do. So we're going to talk about Christian maturity. We're going to talk about what makes a mature church. And Paul starts out, he's got a conflict. And he wants everybody to know that they are to be consistent in their growth. They are to be are spiritually mature. Now hear what I have to say right now. We are to be spiritually mature in all that we do. Shake your head yes. Everything we do, spiritually mature. We're constantly told to study God's word and to pray and to have a relationship and grow that relationship. For a Christian church to be spiritually mature, that's what needs to take place with all people, but we're going to get into some very specific people in a few moments. We're always maturing. I knew what God had spoken to me about to speak to you about today, so I listened to every conversation this morning with a special ear. And you know the conversations that I was having with you. And all those conversations, I'm thinking, we need to grow spiritually mature. Don't get mad at me for saying that. But that's the truth of the matter. This is God's church, God's building. It is not a repair place. It is not a fishing place. It's not a gardening place. What is it? It's a place we study God's word. Now, if I'd have been taking notes this morning, what percentage would of our conversations would have anything to do with God's word this morning? So I'm not going to get on anybody any more than that, but I want you to realize how serious this message is this morning. The marks, the characteristics of a mature church, a spiritually mature church. And Paul is going to give people warnings. In fact, he expects the preachers to give the warnings of the Bible. He's warning about Christian immaturity and leading us into Christian maturity. We are to be consistent with our growth. And here's a list of things that happens when we are consistently maturing. We don't get worried in times of trouble. Now think about all the troubles that we face. A mature Christian does not worry about the future. Why? Who's got the future in his hand? A mature Christian realizes God's got it all under control, period. Nothing is outside of his control. They don't get let their emotions overtake the trust in their Lord. It's easy to let our emotions just to overflow in our heart and life. But we don't operate off emotions. We operate off of trust in the Lord and faith in God and allowing God to lead us. knowing that He's again in control of everything that goes on. The mature Christian sees troubles or problems or trials or times of testings or opportunities to show God's hand working through all the trials and the stuff that we go through. And let me tell you something about that. As we experience trials and troubles, and some of them pretty bad, we think they're pretty bad, there's always people watching to see how we handle those things. The more we mature in Christ, the more people we're going to win to Christ. The more people we're going to convince that God's had it under control the whole time. They're consistent in their daily walk with the Lord. One of the men I read this week, he wrote this, "Beloved, I beg you," or he was, let me step this up. One of the men I read this week was one of the men right here. And it's a really good picture of Christian maturity. As he walked on this earth, his faith went like this and went like this. Let me read to you one of the things that he said, and then I'll tell you something that he said at the very beginning. "I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which are against the soul, having conduct honorable among Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in their daily visitation." He didn't start out writing like that. He didn't start out speaking like that. Here's how he first started his walk with the Lord. "Lord, I'll not deny you." Who do you think I'm talking about? He denied Christ three times before that rooster crowed. Peter grew in his Christian maturity. God never slapped him around or beat him up about it, discouraged him. God encouraged him. We just grow maturely in the Lord. So let's look at what a mature church, what a mature Christian looks like. So we'll start in verse 1 again, and then we'll work through the maybe 6 verses. "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Here was the bothersome thing for your preacher. Paul wrote, "I have a great conflict." He has a great struggle. A mature church must have a mature pastor. One that struggles for his church in prayer. One that has conflicted heart and emotions towards everybody. Your mature pastor, if you have a mature pastor, needs to know your needs. He knows what you're about and what you need from here. He needs to know whether you're physically hurting, whether you're emotionally hurting. He needs to know everything about the church. A mature church must have a mature preacher. I'm talking about a spiritually mature preacher, not necessarily his personality. So don't get that confused. But he is not going out on that limb by himself with verse 1. A mature Christian church must have a mature, spiritually mature preacher and spiritually mature leaders. I've already warned the deacons when I put that word leader in there. I was really talking to our deacons. Deacons and preachers must struggle with the church's prayer concerns. Paul is in prison writing this epistle. He could have been praying, "Lord, get me out of here. Lord, I'm thirsty. Lord, I'm hungry. Lord, I'm miserable. Get me out of this place." But what did Paul do? He gets something, starts writing a letter to the church at Colossae. He's praying for people he's never even met. He's praying for a church that he's never been part of. But this is his church. He knows it. Epaphras came to visit him because he had a need. He needed Paul to pray for this church. It's a home church that started mushrooming and growing. Paul cared about the church of Colossae. to the point of he struggled with his prayer for those people. So here's the deal. The preacher and the leaders / deacons / Sunday school teachers / whoever are our leaders of this church need to be struggling with the people of the church. Now shake your head if you heard me. Don't do this. Shake your head yes. So let me explain my heart here. I'm not saying our church is immature, but there are some immature churches around this country, around this world, spiritually immature. Well, remember Jesus talking about you reap what you sow? If we as church leaders don't sow prayers, and if we're not conflicted about what's going on in our church, if we're not trying to struggle, I'm not talking about a mealy-mouthed prayer, a real quickie, Lord bless them, Lord, heal that person. I'm talking about getting on your knees and struggling, then we're going to have what we sow. I read one man, if I can get to it, he said this, a half-hearted, half-committed minister can only produce half-hearted and half-committed people. And that scared the socks off of me. I did not like reading that. A half-hearted preacher can only produce half-hearted Christians. A church must have a mature preacher. A mature Christian church must have mature Christian leaders. Everybody that's a leader in our church, I want you to hear this message. We only have what we pray about. We've got a family life center being built. If we don't struggle with that, be conflicted in our hearts through prayer about it, and I'm not talking about, Lord, help us build it. Thank you for letting us pay for it. I'm talking about really going to the Lord and praying. There's a world of people all around this church that we know are not going to church. You know, statistics say there's 87% of the population in Clarksville do not go to church on any given Sunday. I'm not saying that we ask God to send all that 87% here, we'd have to build 3 life centers. But what if we did pray, God send all 87% here? What would we do about it? Would we be able to handle it? Yes, because we would be a mature Christian church seeking a mature Christian will for our church. Well, let's keep on going. Another mark of spiritually mature Christians, churches, or churches that are made up of mature Christians, the church has to possess a confidence and assurance in the Word of God. Look at verses 2 and 3. Their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Mature Christians have hearts that are strong, they're confident, they're assured in the Word of God, enough to trust God in all things. Everything. The King James reads that their hearts might be comforted. And this word comfort means encouraged or to be strong or strengthened, established, braced for. Be encouraged. Let God's word stir us with confidence and assurance in his word. What's coming, Paul is warning this church something's coming. And it's here today. What's coming is an onslaught of false teaching. We're right in the middle of that storm right now as well. Churches need to beware. Paul is, it's almost like he's got one of those megaphones. Beware, beware, this is coming. False teaching is coming. That was 2,000 years ago, and we're right in the middle of it now. I grew up in Miami, Florida, and any time we had a major weather warning, which is usually a hurricane, we didn't panic. We prepared. We boarded up the windows. We bought extra food. We bought candles, flashlights, batteries. Some of you have no idea what I'm fixing to say, but we bought Sterno. You know what that is? It's a little can of stuff. You put a match to it and lights. Heats up water, heats up cans of stuff. We bought things that did not require refrigeration to eat. Sometimes we'd be without power for 2 and 3 weeks. We'd be flooded, just like going on now. But we were warned and we prepared. We did not panic. The mature church does not panic. We prepare. We prepare for the onslaught. And we're given, in verses 2 and 3, we're told about the hidden treasures and wisdom and knowledge of God and Jesus. So a Christian, mature Christian church, made up of mature Christian pastors and leaders and teachers, will teach the Word of God. And that prepares us for life. We are to be prepared now, for a spiritual storm is coming. And I need to share with you a personal thought here. One of the things that God requires of the preacher is to preach these warnings. And we, I just said, are in the middle of a spiritual storm. We have been for years. It's been growing and growing, getting worse and worse. And this past year and a half, we've been hit with a pandemic. So the preacher's job is to help us prepare for it, to handle it, to not get too upset about it. Prepare our hearts for this storm. I don't have a mask, but you know what the story is on masks. We've been wearing masks. We've been taping the pews. We've been taking the songbooks out. We've quit doing the bulletin. We've been preparing to keep us safe. And now we're starting to get back into things. We got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pieces of tape. I don't know what's happening. They're all disappearing. As they disappear, we're not replacing them. We're going to put the songbooks back in a short time. We'll do a bulletin in a short time. We prepare for this kind of stuff. And now that we're preparing to come back, your preacher has been struggling in prayer for this time. Do you want to know what the struggle is? It's, Lord, help our members to come back. I'm talking about struggling to the point of tears about this. We have people, they're not coming back. They're not going to come back. They've decided they're not going to come back. They're fine watching it on Facebook. And I don't know, are we on Facebook now? Hello, Facebook people. Sorry. And I'll just preach this way. You know, they need to be here. If they're church members, we do Facebook for people that don't belong here, hoping they'll come. After they hear this, they may not come. But that's what a preacher does. He warns. He struggles. But not just the preacher, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers. We struggle with this. We pray, God, we get on our knees and pray, Lord, bring them back. We ought to have every pew full. We have some people that have got so out of the habit, they're not entertaining the thought of coming back. Well, one day, I'm going to give the warning now. I'm going to tell you, beware, but one day we're going to give an account for our lives. And that's one of the things we'll have to give an account for. You can take Facebook as you go boating and watch it. Oh, what a wonderful time. I can fish and watch Facebook, the service at the same time. Wrong. I've warned you. I'm through. Sorry. No, I'm not. Third mark of a spiritually mature church is its understanding and belief in God's Word. Look at verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. A mature church doesn't let deceiving words, deceiving thoughts, deceiving teaching trick it. How does this church keep from being deceived by something that sounds really good? Because you have a pastor that prays for that. If I hear stuff, and I hear it all the time, I hear what we do with our spare time. Have you ever been woken up at 2:30 in the morning wondering, why in the world am I awake? Chances are your preacher's praying for you. To God, wake them up. Amanda, do you know anything about that? She's called me several times. Were you praying for me at 2:30? Yes, I was. And she woke straight up. And I'm going to pray like that for you. That's one of the reasons I get up so early. So next time you don't get a good night's rest, blame it on your preacher. Because I'm praying, Lord, wake us up. Help us to get right. We need to get mature spiritually every single day. We grow and we grow. You know, the growth may just be kind of like, you can't even see my finger hardly going up, but that's my spiritual growth is always going upwards. You need deacons and leaders to be praying like this as well. It's not just the preacher. Can't do it all by himself. We reap what we sow. But we're not going to let persuasive words overtake this church. I can tell you that right now. And with the technology and the things that we do, it's trying its best to take over all the churches. We're not going to do church with emotions that are just based on words. We're going to do church with emotions based on the Holy Spirit. We're going to do what the purpose of our church is, and that's to serve God. Let me ask you this. You know that I pray for you, and I pray some pretty hard prayers for you. That doesn't mean I don't love you. In fact, it means just the opposite. I do love you enough to pray like that. But how about you praying for me like that? Tell the Lord to wake me up if I'm sleeping. Tell the Lord to get me right if I'm not doing right. Again, it's not just the preacher. Deacons, you need to be praying for your preacher like that. Wake him up, Lord. Make sure that he's doing his job. And that's just, by the way, between you and the Lord. That's not to go anywhere else. You know, you pray to the Lord about these things and let God take care of it. Just by the way, is there something I need to correct? If there is, tell me. But I'm not going to listen to you. I will. I'll shed a tear and then get over it and I'll do the right thing. Let's close with a benchmark for every mature Christian. Look at verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, what's the Bible say? So walk in him. That's what a Christian, mature Christian church does, a spiritually mature Christian does. We walk in the Lord consistently. Those kinds of people walk by faith. They consistently trust the Lord in their life. They walk knowing that Jesus is Lord. He's sovereign of all things. Jesus uses the word mature Christians as a solid foundation for his church. Now let me reminisce just a bit. Jesus started the first church when he was here on earth, and then he ascended to heaven, and then they met in the upper room, 105 people together praying. God put them all together. So he created or established the first church. But let me tell you what I think. I believe when he established that first church, he also established Hillcrest Baptist Church. I believe Paul, when he said, I'm praying for all churches, was praying for us, for all churches till Jesus comes back. Isn't it amazing to think And doesn't it just set you on fire to know that Jesus is praying for Hillcrest Baptist Church now? He's interceding for your preacher, for your leaders, for each member of our church. This is His church. He established it. He continues to pray for it. And with Jesus, He's going to use us until we die. But guess what? He's got somebody prepared to take our place. He's not going to let this church die. It's been going on now for 2,000 years. It's going to go on until He comes back. Jesus always has somebody in there to take somebody else's place. Thank you, Lord. Let me close with some scripture and a quote. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. This is Jesus speaking, talking about building on the rock. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock of Jesus. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as having one with authority and not as the scribes. So Jesus has built Hillcrest Baptist Church on the rock. That's our foundation. You and I are part of that rock as mature Christians. We have already been built this part on the solid rock of Jesus. We're building now on the solid rock of Jesus, and it will not fall. I promise you that. The quote is from Paul Fox, "The greatest danger of false teaching is complacency, considering ourselves and our children to be immune from their attraction. If Christ is not the center of the Christian's life, that Christian is ripe for another spirit, another teaching, false teaching." So let's be on our guard and beware. There's a storm happening now, and it's going to get worse. We are to beware. We have built our house on the rock of Jesus Christ. And we have leaders that are going to keep us on that rock. We're not going to let this thing fall by the wayside. God has started this church 2,000 years ago, and it's going to be His. If He doesn't come back for as long as that is, He will take care of Hillcrest Baptist Church. Let's pray. Almighty Father, this is Your time. I pray that You'd speak to our hearts, Lord, about growing in You, doing the things that You've told us to do, and being obedient to the Word. But I do know, Father, that there are some that may not have You in their life, in their heart. So today we offer them an invitation to get right with God, to accept Jesus as their Savior. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, for decisions to be made today. Have Your way with us, Father, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are a Baptist church. We always have an invitation. The invitation is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I will be up front, right in front of these flowers, and I would love to pray with you and tell you how to invite the Lord in your heart. But Christians, you know where you sit with the Lord. It's also a time of rededication, a time of making decisions for Jesus. If you feel something just beating on your heart inside your chest, most likely that's the Lord Jesus Christ talking to you. Some have never been baptized. We're Baptists. We believe in baptism. Jesus commanded it, so that's a decision you can make. Joining our church, anything that God puts on your heart, feel free to come forward and say, "Brother Jerry, I just need to talk to you," and we'll pray about things. So stand, and I'll be up front if you need to make a decision. Come on forward.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away, calling to day, calling to day. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling to day. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling to day, calling to day. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is waiting, oh come to him now, waiting today, waiting today. Come with thy sins at his feet lowly bound, come and no longer delay. Calling today, is calling, is tenderly calling today.
This in the calendars, is that clock right? 25 till? I got 25 more minutes. Y'all have a seat. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, your blessings, your gracious love. Father, we sure love you. And Lord, bless each one as they leave. I pray, Lord, that we'd have a great day in the Lord today. And Father, make our way back tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now remember this. Amen.